This week's Parsha, Parshas Chukas, we started to talk about yesterday. I'd like to continue a little bit about the story of the Nachash HaNechosheth. So if you look in the Parsha, you find that there are two different instances, two occasions on which the Jewish people register and lobby some kind of complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one, we find Vatama Sham Miriam Vatikavar Sham. In our Parsha, Miriam HaNeviah passes away, and she is buried. As we know, the Be'er Shel Miriam. Miriam was the reason why they had a very special water source throughout their travels in the desert. So now that Miriam passed away, there was no longer that ability to have the water being provided. Vahikalu al Moshe ve'al Aaron. So the Jewish people all gathered together and they start to complain against Moshe and Aaron. What are we going to do? The problem was not just that they complained about the water, but then they extended the complaint and they said, not only are we upset about the water, which is a reasonable complaint and a reasonable concern, but they said, why did you bring us here at all? Lamus sham anachnu v'hirenu. Don't you realize that all of us are going to get wiped out, all of us are going to die? So this is the complaint that they register. You go one parak later in our parsha and you find, once again, the Jewish people have some sort of problem. Vatikzar nefesh ha'am baderech. We're told that, I don't know exactly how to translate it, but they lose patience pretty much. The Klal Yisrael is traveling through the desert, and they lose patience. Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim uv'moshe. And they register a complaint once again against Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem himself. And they say, Lama heli sonami Mitzrayim lamas bamidbar. Why have you taken us out of Mitzrayim just to die here in the desert? Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim v'nafshenu katze b'lechem aklokel. We don't want to be in this environment anymore. We've had enough. And they are complaining why it is that they are stuck in the desert. Now, to that complaint, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and he sends nechashim, he sends poisonous snakes, which make a terrible plague in the Jewish people, and many people lose their lives, and many people get sick. And that's a story that we began to discuss a little bit at length yesterday. It does require some sort of level of understanding. I don't know exactly the answer. The Mefarshim on Chumash try to deal with it, but it's not so clear. Why is it that they got this horrible punishment of the Nechashim only after the second time they complained? What about the first? First complaint was also pretty bad. They make an affront against Moshe Rabbeinu the first time. They make an affront against God himself. They're angry about the water. They're complaining why they're in the desert. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets it go. All of a sudden, the second time around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to have taken out his wrath against the Jewish people. So some of Farshim on Chumash say maybe the reason why is because now this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Now you complain too many times, now it's time to get some sort of retribution. Now it's time for you to be paid back. The problem with that is you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu works that way, you think he lost patience for the Jewish people all of a sudden when this happens. So the Mefarshim on Chumash try to explain exactly how you figure out the difference between each one of these complaints, but that's not exactly the focus for now. Either way, we're told that Klal Yisrael was extremely scared and they were feeling some sort of regret and they had misgivings over the fact that they had registered this complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. So they go to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, we'd like you to daven on our behalf that God should take away all of these poisonous snakes. We can't handle it. It's going to wipe out the entire Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds and he sees that it's a dire, it's an urgent need, and he sees that Klal Yisrael is completely desperate at this point. If he doesn't do something, that's going to be the end of them. Vayispala Moshe Baram, Moshe Rabbeinu says, as angry as I am, and as much as you were all wrong for what you did, Vayispala Moshe Baram, Moshe Rabbeinu stands up and he offers a tefillah on behalf of the Jewish people, and it is only then, in response to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah on their behalf, it is then that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and he says, make the Nechash HaNechosheth, and that's the way that they're all going to be cured, that's the way to get rid of the problem. Now, Rashi comments, a very important Rashi on this week's Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu stands up, Vayispala Moshe Baram, says Rashi, Mikan, we learn from here, Lemi shemevakshim imenu mechila. If somebody comes and asks you for forgiveness for something that justifiably you're upset about, somebody hurt you, or somebody even very acutely caused you some tremendous pain or harm in your life, or you feel underappreciated like Moshe Rabbeinu must have felt here, here I am taking care of them, doing everything, bringing miracles, splitting the Yam Suf, what more can a person ever do? And look what they respond to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, says Rashi, even though in life there are times in which people slight us and people offend us and people hurt us, still, says Rashi, Mikan, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, Lemi shemevakshim imenu mechila. If the time comes when the person is big enough to ask you for mechila and is ready to do so, lo yehei achzari, don't be so spiteful, don't be so venomous toward that person and say, I absolutely refuse to absolve you of your sin. Says Rashi, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, look what happened here. They did something terrible against Moshe Rabbeinu. 5 minutes later, they come to him and they ask for forgiveness. And he says, okay, I'm willing to go on your behalf. I will advocate. I will ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to forgive you. And he lets it go. I saw a beautiful comment of the Lubavitcher Rebbe in his Likutei Sichos, where he says, it is not only learned from the fact, like Rashi comments, that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to go out of his way and be mispalo for the Jewish people. That's an amazing step that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to take for a people that totally didn't appreciate him, that didn't appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not only learned from that alone. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, I think, has a beautiful observation in our parsha where he says, if you look carefully, when the Ribbono Shel Olam responds to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, in response to the terrible plague going on out there, I'd like you to create a Nachash HaNachoshes. How are we introduced to that mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was given? It says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Asei Lecha Saraf. I want you to make this figure of a nachash, and I want you to put it up in the middle of the community, and this way everybody will be cured. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks, what does it mean, Asei Lecha? I want you to make for yourself a saraf. I want you to make for yourself a snake. It wasn't for himself, it was for everybody else. So it should say, Asei Lahem. Make for the Jewish people something that can be able to cure them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that if you make it the way I instructed you to do it, it is going to cure them. So why are we told, Asei Lecha? Well, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, interestingly enough, you go back to Parshas Behaloscha, which is another occasion in which we find this terminology of Lecha, where we're told, Asei Lecha Shtei Chatzotzros Kesef. What are we told? Moshe Rabbeinu had to make 2 trumpets made from silver. And there Rashi comments, Asei Lecha means Mishelecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to spend his own money from his personal account, from his own expense. He had to pay for the formation of these trumpets to be made in Parshas Behaloscha. Suggests to Lubavitcher Rebbe, again, he says that he doesn't find this in the Medrash, but he says maybe what it means here also is Asei Lecha. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to be mochel the Jewish people, not just that you had the wherewithal to go and daven and advocate on their behalf, but I want you to be the one who's going to pay from your own account, from your own expense. I want you to lose money on the deal. You're going to go out there and you're going to create, you're going to craft the remedy for them. And even though it's going to cost you money and you're going to feel it, and it's going to be something that you might regret later on, but still the Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's the way to show that you really are mochel someone. That's the way to show that you really got over it, that you really have nothing in your heart against them, and suggest to Lubavitcher Rebbe it wasn't enough that Moshe Rabbeinu just davened for them. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, you're going to go 10 steps further and you're also going to make Asei Lecha. You're going to take the expense upon yourself because you're going to show the Jewish people that you have nothing in this for yourself, that you're not upset at them, that they maybe upset you, but you've gotten over it and you're willing to move past it. You're willing to now, once again, be the effective leader of the Jewish people and go past this terrible mistake that they made. This is a critical lesson that we're taught by Moshe Rabbeinu, like Rashi says, that a person should not be an achzari. A person has to be willing to overlook. There are people who will slight us in life, there are people who will hurt us, and there are people who will harm our reputation throughout life, like they did to Moshe Rabbeinu. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches all of us that a person, a Jew, has to have it within him or herself to be able to understand that sometimes we have to get over it. We cannot always hold on to the anger forever. We cannot always think about it. We cannot always hold it in our minds or in our hearts. The Rambam writes in Ilchus Tshuva, a very beautiful insight, where he talks about the Givonim. So who were the Givonim? So in Sefer Shmuel, the Navi tells us that in the days of David HaMelech's kingdom, David HaMelech was faced with a problem. There was a Rav Ba'aretz, Shalosh Shanim. There was a famine in the land year after year. David HaMelech was trying to figure out why. How come none of the crops were growing? How come none of the produce was being successful? And finally he realizes, Vayivakish David es Panei Hashem. After 3 years, David HaMelech starts to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, why is it that I am being punished? Why is this happening? Vayomer Hashem, and the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, it's because of what you did to the Givonim. It's because you caused the Givonim trouble. So David HaMelech goes to the community of the Givonim, and he begs for their forgiveness, and he wants that they should absolve the Jewish people of the terrible thing that they may have done generations before. And the Givonim insist, absolutely not. They're not willing to let it go. They're not willing to look past it. They're not willing to forgive David HaMelech and the Jewish community, and therefore this is why the Jewish people were suffering. On that pasuk, comments the Gemara Maseches Yevamah Zayin Ches, Vayikra HaMelech LeGivonim. David HaMelech extends himself. He goes to the community with humility, and he asks them to please forgive him, and to forgive the Jewish community. Says the Gemara, Mephes Velo Paisinu. He tried to make up with them, and they were not willing to accept it. And therefore, says the Gemara, Shlosha Simanim Yesh Be'umazu. This is a very famous comment of the Gemara, but this is where it said that in order to have the defining characteristics of what it means to be a Jew, one has to be able to find it within them to be a Rachaman, a Baishan, and a Gomel Chesed, says the Gemara. You have to be able to be a Rachaman. What that means is that you have to be compassionate. You have to be in some way soft-hearted and benevolent, that when somebody comes and asks for your forgiveness, says the Gemara, you have to be willing to say, I can overlook it. I will absolve you of the terrible mistake that you made, because we're all human beings and we all make mistakes, and sometimes they're not even mistakes. Sometimes we do it with specific intent to hurt other people, but yet we have to find it within us, says the Gemara, to be able to be forgiving, to be able to look past it, to be able to move on with life. And says the Gemara, from this story of the Gemonim, we learn that a person who doesn't have these qualifications, a person who doesn't have within them to be a Rachaman, to be benevolent and kind and forgiving, is a person who doesn't belong in the Jewish community. It's a clear symbol that you must not be. And says the Gemara, not only that, you have to also be willing to be a Baishan. And I think so often that our society today has forgotten what it means to be a Baishan, to be embarrassed. People can be arrested for terrible things that they've done. They show up to shul the next day like nothing ever happened. They have no problem showing up in public and looking as if everything's fine. Part of what it means to be a Jew is, when we do things wrong, we have to be a little bit embarrassed about what we do, or we should be very embarrassed about what we do, and it's not so simple just to look past it. And we also have to be gomle chasadim, says the Gemara. So the Rambam picks up on that Gemara, and he says, Aval ha-goyim arle halev enokein. He says, so often you look around in other communities and you find that the non-Jews do not live life like that, and they are not willing to forgive, says the Rambam. Ela ve'evraso shamra lanetzach. The Rambam says, there are people who live life holding on to anger forever. You ever had a person who's just an angry person, and every time you see them, they're just chazering over, always repeating the story about how this one hurt them, and that one slighted them, and this one did something to them in the office, and that one, and they're never willing to get over it. It could be 10 years later, they're still telling the old stories about what people did to them, and how they did terrible things, and how they had a horrible relationship. It's time to move on, says the Rambam. You cannot live life always remembering the negative. Of Raso Shamr LaNetzach, says the Rambam, is the way that the Umas HaOlam live. That is not our perspective. We have to be bigger than that, and says the Rambam, V'chein hu amar ala givonim. And therefore it says about the givonim, L'fi shalom machlu v'ala nespaisu, because the givonim were not willing to forgive David HaMelech, they were not willing to absolve him of the terrible mistake that the Jewish people did to their community. Therefore, writes the Rambam, the Pasuk says about them, HaGivonim lo mibnei Yisrael hema. It is a clear indication that the Givoni community can never be a part of the Jewish people. If that's the way you live life, it means you don't belong here. Because what we live life is a life of compassion, a life of understanding. Now, this is really what the Gemara talks about being Mavir al Midosenu, that a person has to be willing to not be such a stickler for their own kavod. You have to be a little bit, have a sense of humility to be able to overlook that which other people do to you. So the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, Amar Rava kalam mavir al midosav ma'avirin lo al kol peshav. A person who is willing to overlook that which others may have negatively impacted your life, ma'avirin lo al kol peshav, the Ribbono shel Olam will in turn do the same. And he will say, you also have negatively impacted my world. You have done things that I have told you not to do, but because you were willing to overlook for others, I am willing to overlook for you. I know every year when our Basher Weiss gives the shiurim before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he says that everybody in our generation thinks about skulas and what can they do to get a skula liyom adin. So we see all kinds of advertisements. If you do hafreshes challah with 40 women and you go run to this makom kaddish for 40 days in a row, and everybody has their own ideas, but he says the greatest skula is what the Gemara tells us, and that is kala mavir al midosa mavir in la kol pshav. It comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time and you want to know, what is the greatest skula that I can have that I should be able to get a mechila, that the Ribbono shel Olam should overlook the transgressions and all the mistakes that I've had in the past year, says the Gemara, is very simple. You have to learn how to do it for other individuals as well, for other human beings. And with that, the Ribbono shel Olam will respond the very same way. And the Gemara says in Tainus the very same story, that there was a situation where the Jewish people needed some sort of help with a situation that they were in. And it says that Rabbi Kiva went to Davin after many others had been mispalel and were not answered. Rabbi Kiva went to Davin, he said a very cryptic short tefillah, Avinu Malkeinu Ein Lanu Melech Ela'ata, and all of a sudden, the problem was taken away. And the Gemara says, everyone started to look, ooh, look, Rabbi Kiva is so much greater than everybody else, how come his tefillah was answered, nobody else was? And the Gemara says the reason why is because it's very simple. Rabbi Kiva was able to be Mavir al Midosav. Somebody who's willing to do that, the Ribbono shel Olam sees that and he says, if you're willing to be Mavir al Midosav, then I will also be mavir on the terrible mistakes that the Jewish people may have made as well. The Ramah, however, qualifies the statement. The Ramah in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, with this we'll close for Mincha. The Ramah tells us, although it is true that a person should not be an achzer, a person shouldn't be the kind of individual who is spiteful, who doesn't want to forgive, who doesn't want to forget about things that were done wrong. However, says the Ramah, there are some exceptions to the rule. We're not going to get into it now, maybe before Yom Kippur, it's a time for that. But the Ramah says there are certain exceptions to the rule that the Gemara itself discusses, where we find a precedent for a person holding on to that which somebody did to them and saying, it's going to take a while for me to be mochel you. We're not going to do it right away. I have to get over this, and it's not so simple. The Gemara has a story in Yuma Daf Pei Zayin about Rav, that one time he slighted Rav Chanina, who was the Rosh Hashiva at the time, and he some way did some sort of infraction to him. He humiliated him, even though it was a very minimal humiliation, but still. And it says that for 13 years, Rav was trying to come back to him to ask Mechila every year, and Rav Chanina, for whatever reason it was not willing to forgive him. So the Gemara gives an explanation why that was true. It was a very good justification for him not forgiving him. It was in order to save the life of Rav and save the life of Rav Chanina, a whole complicated story. But basically, the Ramah draws out from that Gemara that it seems there are circumstances, there are situations in which a person has a right to say, right now is not the appropriate time for Mechila. We'll have to wait a little bit. I always wonder every year before Yom Kippur, people call you, are you mochel me? Well, let me hear, what did you do to me? I'll think about it. I don't know, it depends. So this is what the Ramah says. It's not so simple that everybody has to be willing to forgive immediately, but the Ramah says under most circumstances, one should be careful, as we learned from our Parsha by Moshe Rabbeinu, that one should never be an achzer milimchol. You should never hold back, you should never withhold from giving people the opportunity to make up and to have a place in your heart to once again accept them, even though they may have done something that could have been very hurtful and very damaging to your reputation or to your life. Reb Chanan ben Akasha Omer.